Good morning. You're listening to the KRFY Morning Show here on this Tuesday, May 26th. I'm Susie Prez.
Hi, well, Susie. I'm your co-host, Chris Bessler.
Yep. Nice to see you, Chris, on this beautiful day. And we have guests in the studio, Barney Ballard, in to talk about employment and educational opportunities and partnerships in our community. Welcome, Barney.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
And I think first we should start with the weather from the National Weather Service. Currently it's 48 degrees. High today says 66 degrees and low tonight 49. Heavy rain after 11 a.m. today, 70% chance, 50% chance tonight. And it looks like we're having those really welcomed showers.
Yeah, this year they're especially welcome because we have such a small snowpack up in the mountains that it's going to be important to get periodic rain all summer long.
Yep, it was not a bad thing to see, and it really refreshed everything and wiped away some of that pollen that was hanging around on everything.
But I'll say it's really green and beautiful. It feels almost tropical out there when it's warm and we get these rains like this.
One of the things I noticed in my garden after a rain, I don't know why it is. Maybe there's nitrogen in the rain. I think there is, actually. Everything just takes a gigantic step forward.
Yeah, the gardens like it.
Yeah. So what do you have over there, Chris?
Well, other things going on outside. The sunrise this morning was at 4:54 a.m. Sunset will be at 8:32 p.m. tonight. Over the last week, we've gained about 15 minutes of daylight as we're coming closer to the summer solstice. Now, you know, a month ago, we were gaining more along the lines of 22, 24 minutes a week. So it starts to wane a little bit as we get closer to the solstice. The solstice this year is going to be June 21st. So we'll keep getting longer days until June 21st. First quarter moon was yesterday. So we're coming up on a full moon, which is going to be a week from today. It's going to rise at 1:27 p.m. Today, so you'll see it by sunset for sure. It'll still be up there. Lake level is at 2060.25. It's up more than a foot in this last week. They're raising the lake level pretty quickly because there's going to be a smaller snowpack, less runoff coming, as it typically comes later in the year. And they're projecting it'll be up almost another foot by a week from today. And in the river scene, the Priest River flow was not available, but the Moye River is running at 1,220 CFS. It's been steady for the past week, actually. So the snow melt is coming off at a really consistent pace, actually. And well, that's what's happening outside.
Okay, well, I wanted to let our listeners know about something that's coming up this Friday. And, of course, everyone in this room knows about it. It's the KRFY Benefit Concert at the Panada. It's one night, two nationally recognized bands, Lindsay Lou and the Flatbellies and Patsy Sanders. So we're really suggesting to get your tickets to support KRFY. And you can get those here at the station by calling 265-2992. And at Eichardt's, Eves Leaves, POAC office, and at Panada.org. That's again this Friday at May 29th at 7 p.m. And guess what? We're going to do a little bit later in the hour, Chris.
I think we're going to, you know, we're going to bump up the chances for people here to come and see the Lindsay Lou, Patsy Sanders concert.
Yep.
Right?
We're going to have a ticket giveaway. We're going to give away a couple pairs of tickets. So stay tuned. Stay with us for the hour. We also have another interview at the bottom of the hour with Lisa DeFrentis from the Bonner Community Hospice, talking about the Hospice Kids Camp that's coming up in June. Yeah. So quite a packed show. We can get to it right now.
Yeah. So, Barney, thank you for joining us today. Now, actually, you have your own radio show.
Correct, on KSPT 1400.
Yep. And it plays at 12:10 p.m. on?
It's the second and third Tuesdays of each month.
Okay. So, and the focus of that show, and what we're going to be talking about here today as well, is you are really personally interested, and I've been, a community advocate for, particularly for educational topics, educational things going around town, as well as employment issues. That's what you focus your show on.
Yes, that's correct. And I got started on this because back in 2006, when we had the Dock of the Bay restaurant, we were trying to forecast the future. So we had done some things, and I actually started going, what's the difficulty in being downtown? Because we were out there, and we had been approached about being at the new location in the, at the then time, Panhandle State Bank building. And so we were talking about considering some opportunities there. And then I started to put together a list of restaurants that had been in Sandpoint since we started in 1984. And I came up with 310 restaurants that have come and gone in the area here. And then I started looking at the ones that were on 1st and 2nd Avenue and how many were there. And we began to see a pattern emerging. So
in 30 years, that's a kind of amazing statistic. In 30 years, we've seen 300 restaurants come and go. Some have stayed, some have made it during that period of time, but that's basically an average of 10 a year.
Right, and this is kind of an area-wide thing, and I included Hope and Sagal and all. But it was interesting because we began to think about, gee, you know, what are we doing out here in Hope? And we were thinking there seems to be a change in the economy coming, so we were trying to analyze that and making a next step, and that's when we decided to not renew our lease out there in anticipation of an economic downturn, actually. And we thought that the range of survivability for a restaurant would be in the $6 to $10 range, and then we began talking about doing the Tango Cafe.
$6 to $10 being an average ticket. Meal served.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, so that there would be a survivability with that. So anyway, that kind of got us going on that, and then we started looking at what could we do, because the same situation has happened for so long in our downtown that we were going, what is the reason for this non-viability in a way of our downtown, where there is just such a turnover of businesses and especially restaurants? So that's how this whole thing emerged, because there were talks at the time. I think there was a Bonner Boundary Planning Group, and the number one goal out of that whole planning process was education is really important. So that got us thinking a little bit more about how we could be involved with the educational process, but also the anticipation of what was coming up. I have a background in aviation because I was a pilot in the U.S. Air Force, and I started in 1969 and served until 1974. So I've always had this passion for aviation, and I was aware of some things that were happening in town in relation to Tamarack Aerospace and then also Quest. And just all of those things seemed to be like, this is really a place to focus upon. And then also considering, if they were to be successful in the future, how does a community provide trained workers for those burgeoning aerospace industries at the time, and then other things that were happening, but sort of focusing on that initially. So again, it boiled down to education. Education's the key.
Mm-hmm.
So
specifically as regards to education, currently you're involved with a very interesting program at the high school that wraps into aerospace.
Right. We have a North Idaho High School Aerospace Program. A friend of mine, Ken Larson, got started at the Sandpoint Forest Bird Charter School and was delivering a program there on career pathways and in aerospace. And some of the statistics that the listeners might find interesting are that over the next 20 years, there's an anticipated need for over 50,000 pilots in the world in the aerospace industry. But the thing that I thought was even more interesting was that there's an anticipated need for 650,000 mechanics in the aerospace industry over the next 20 years. And these are jobs where I thought, gosh, you know, we have a lot of students here who maybe they're not your typical four-year student. You know, there's always ones that are going to be going on to college and succeeding with things. But how do you deliver some skill that is actually a really good paying job, and do it without creating debt, So we began to explore a little bit of a program there in relation to the aerospace program. Specifically, and I can't say that we really succeeded with this yet, but towards those who are, say, a gearhead and like to do things and put an engine together and make it run and all of that. So anyway, that's...
So students that might be more mechanically inclined,
exactly,
versus academically inclined. Or some, a lot of these students combine both.
Oh, yeah, because when you start getting excited about taking an engine apart, putting an engine together, and then you start realizing and going, wow, people's lives depend upon how accurate and how well you do that. And so it's not something that's just a willy-nilly type of operation. It is very specific and very safety-oriented.
So at the high school now, how many kids are involved in this program? Is this kind of like an extracurricular program, or are they taking this class for credit?
Yeah, there's a class for credit. But what happened was is after we got things going at the Forest Bird Charter School, there were students from Sandpoint High School who had heard about it and wanted to come over and participate. So they petitioned their counselors and the principals and came over to the charter school. And then Sandpoint High School asked if they could offer this class for the following year, which is the year that we're in now. And when we got a call last May from Sandpoint High School, and they said, you know, we have a little bit of a problem here, and we need to talk with you guys. They had 48 students who signed up for the aerospace class. Mm-hmm. And not all of them, you know, wasn't their first choice. But we thought, gosh, you know, we've got to rethink this, and how do we deliver this program? There are so many great people in this community when you start diving into all of the experiences that people have. And we have people that worked on the Apollo program and are rocket scientists, and Bert Rutan, who's from Coeur d'Alene, he came up. We had to actually get an auditorium to incorporate the number of people who wanted to listen to him speak about this project that he's been involved with in the past. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but Bert Rutan is a famous aerospace designer in composites. And he won the prize that Paul Allen put up for the first private spacecraft taking civilians up into space.
Is that, and it was SpaceX? Or?
Yeah. No. Let's see.
There was a couple of those, I know.
Yeah. The one most recently, since he's been out of the program, had the Virgin label on the side of that little rocket, and that's mm-hmm. the one that came apart as it was going up. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But Bert had successfully done something prior to that several years ago. I think it was in maybe 2004 or 6, where he sent two pilots up, and they were 320-some thousand feet, and then they came back down and landed the aircraft. So anyway, just there's incredible people in this community. John Phillips, the astronaut. Mm-hmm. You know, these are all people that have given their time and come to the program, spoken to our student population. We had then refined this group down of students to about 25 students.
Okay.
You said that initially you had 48 students that showed up for the, and you had to kind of rethink what how you're going to meet the need. What happened?
Well, what we did was thought, okay, we should serve those students who are immediately here as juniors and seniors. So there had to be a little bit of a requirement that way. We also started thinking, how can we do this career pathways class? And then what happens after that? So we started talking about that, and we ended up trying to get set up a flight school program, which is a ground school, and then for those who are able and interested, actually flying. So we had broken up in the second semester into that. Ken Larson also had an aircraft that was donated to the program. Because the funding for schools here is so dismal, we said, hey, you know, we noticed this empty wood shop. Can we bring that airplane in here and start using that as a place to work on an aircraft?
So, and so you actually, the kids now are actually working on an aircraft.
Yeah, and those who are interested. Now, because, again, there's some very mundane things, and this aircraft is one where we actually have had to take it apart, take the skin off the wings, and then go back in and start working with the ingredients that support this whole structure, because there was an airworthiness directive issued by the FAA that said, if this airplane is to fly, you will have to accomplish these modifications. So that was essentially reinforcing the wing spar, which is the basic. But what it did was every one of the students then had to learn how to read blueprints. Then you had to get in and actually learn how to, and we practiced on various failed parts from other things that we had donated to the program, where you actually remove a rivet and learn how to do that. Then you learn how to put rivets back in. But all of these tolerances and the very meticulous things, the inventory of all of the construction that had gone on prior to us getting this airplane, we had to verify everything. So there was a boring portion of the program that took, say, 3 or 4 months to go back through, read the plans, then take each plan, measure the distance between each rivet, all of those little things, which actually become very important in the process of becoming a mechanic, but also in your awareness as a pilot or anybody who's working in aviation.
I just want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY Morning Show. We're here in the studio this morning with Barney Ballard, and we're talking about, right now we're talking about an initiative that was brought about by, I guess, you and a few other people to bring aerospace class through a career pathways class to high school students.
We've had great support, too, mm-hmm. and it's been the businesses such as Quest and Tamrac, Granite Aviation, then all kinds of people. When you start reaching out in this community, we got an engine donated to the class. So the engine is really worth $20,000 when it's in operating condition and has been overhauled. And we looked at the engine and we said, gosh, you know, we need to clean this up. So we took it out to Brown's Northside Machine and Gear, told them what we were doing. And then when we came back, those guys said, hey, we want to donate our work towards the class restoring this engine and actually being able to use it on the airplane. So just any time that we've done something in the community and people have had a chance to respond, it's been really positive. Again, Tamrac and Quest, they've had engineers in this class helping us and talking about what we're doing and then explaining the principles of flight or how you generate more lift or what the function is of Fowler flaps or all of these various things, you know. And so it's really opening a broad range of areas of study for several students. And then some others find, oh, hey, that's not my cup of tea. So then you go on. And that's the purpose, actually, of high school, I think, and probably your first couple years of college, mm-hmm. is to figure out what to do.
Yeah, where your interests really lie. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of this came from your observation of our economics here in our community, thinking about community and wanting to have a viability and stability, and some information about 600,000 mechanics in the next 20 years, and what can we do?
Right, and then I began thinking, okay, how do you make the downtown viable? And to me, it went back again to this whole thing where Bonner boundary planning, anything that we've talked about, it all comes down to education. So, you know, maybe there's something that is going on within the community, and you go, how can we capitalize upon that? Because there is this transition. You know, we are a tourist town, but that's not going to provide us the same good-paying jobs that light manufacturing and healthcare, IT, like Coachava represents, and then also sort of the anticipatory thing of Coldwater Creek on a downward trend, and then possibly losing all of that. So it seemed like it was really important to say we need to connect some way with the educational opportunity, and could education be an economic driver for our downtown? And that's where I think our main effort as a community should be, is how do we get more involvement with the college, and the college being NIC, and expand that presence in our downtown, because we should have professors, maintenance people for those buildings, more students. We need study halls there. various things like that that keep on expanding that. And that becomes a way that we can serve the needs for the healthcare industry, the IT industry, the aerospace industry. And there's jobs right now that I know some of the aerospace businesses and probably Cochava with the experience level of some people, they need to go outside of the area to find qualified people to work in some of those things.
Yeah, the specialized skills that they're involved there. And that's what kids start on the career path with this particular program that's now launched at the high school. So in that program, you've been donated basically a plane kit, a fuselage and wings, and that's what the kids are putting together. There's also now you have an engine. So at some point, these pieces all get put together. Is there a projected time when that plane will be ready to fly?
Yes. We're hoping to have this ready to fly at the end of next school year. So that's our goal, is to do that. And in the meantime, just if you get an engine running and you get that thing up and powering away in a classroom, then that's a pretty neat experience right there.
So that's obviously the hands-on mechanical part is part of the program. But how about kids that want to learn to fly? Is that part of this program as well?
It is. We've had a ground school, and the way that the evaluation occurs is that you learn the components of what it takes to get licensed. And what we're teaching to is a sport pilot category. And again, this is Ken Larson. He's the one that is a certified flight instructor. He was a military instructor, and he's an instrument instructor, all of those things. He's got 35 years in the aviation business, and he's the one that is doing this ground school, and there's no charge for the student. He's donating all of this. He actually donates his time in the airplane as an instructor to the students as well. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the great support from the Experimental Aircraft Association, number 1441, and that's Jan and Paula Lee and then several others. These people are just so generous with programs, and there's one called Young Eagles where they all give a ride, an introductory ride, and then if a student then fills out a Young Eagle form, they can complete this process. And our goal for all of these things is, how do you do this with as little expense as possible? Mm-hmm. They're providing scholarships, but then there's also some things nationally where the students can get some financial help to continue their licensing requirements. So we're teaching to a sport pilot realm, but there's a couple of students that actually want to make this a private pilot's course, and that's being taught to as well. So. Mm-hmm. It's happening in the classroom.
One of the things I think about when I'm listening to what you're saying is, in high school, you often don't know where you're going. You have all these classes. This really gives the students an opportunity if they have an interest. But for hands-on educational experience, and oftentimes kids go to college for a four-year degree, get into a tremendous amount of debt, and still don't know what they want to do. But this is a kind of a introductory, I don't know what you'd call it, but a look at things.
Here's my dream. Uh-huh. There's some great programs that are going on right now at the high school level you can get signed up for, get started on. And then if you allied again with our community college, North Idaho College, you could graduate from here this June, have a little bit of background with some of the things that we're doing and then this other program, and go to North Idaho College, get your airframe certification as a mechanic at North Idaho College. At the end of that first year, you would have no debt. Then, depending upon what happens as far as where the power plant portion, which is the engine section of this class of licensing, occurs, you might go to Spokane Community College right now and get that, and you'd have some debt. But conceivably, you could be at the end of a two-year period, have an associate's degree, and have your AMT license, which used to be the old airframe and power plant. You could have all of that. You would have a great career course ahead of you. But this is really my passion now, is I want to see language and culture be a focus, because there are just great things. If you had a skill and you could go out, you could contract for yourself anywhere almost around the world And as a mechanic, again, with, I'm going to say, $5,000 or so in debt at the end of that two-year period, that's really nothing compared to what a lot of students come out with.
Yeah,
you could go someplace and your contract is for 6 or 9 months, and then you go, okay, hey, I need to take a couple of months off to explore the rest of Asia or the Galapagos or something like that. But I know there's good programs that currently exist. When you look at the Waldorf school and you say, language is important, culture is important, understanding those things, what you're then doing is creating somebody who has a little broader awareness, an ability to network, and then also maybe eventually they could come back and because of their experience overseas, they can be the next entrepreneur and maybe start the next company that has 15 to 50 jobs here.
A multilingual.
There you go.
Yeah. I know that I have a high school graduate friend that really loves language and is pretty fluent in French, but also likes the English language. And she really couldn't afford to go to college, did not want to get in debt, basically. Had good grades and all that, but got some scholarships and then found a course, English as a Second Language. And it's a 1-year course and she wants to travel. You know, just even knowing
she's teaching this course,
she's going to take the course,
okay,
and then be able to go overseas and teach English as a second language.
Yes, yes.
And I mean things like that, and I think that's what you're talking about. Either way, foreign language or English as a second language, those kind of opportunities really take away that heavy burden of debt, financial debt, if they can find those things. And so, getting it into the high school level to start out is probably important.
I think it's important, too, for our educators, for our civic leaders and all to say, this is our goal. This is what we desire to happen. And that's where I'd like to see a little bit more of a recognition and a push, actually, because what has happened, I think, is because we are so slow to respond sometimes. And I think, when did I start looking at this thing for the downtown? That was 2006, 2007, when I started putting all this together, trying to make a decision based upon something like that. I see us as, at some point, we become reactive. I like to be proactive to stay ahead of the game.
Remind our listeners, we're speaking this morning with Barney Ballard. This is the KRFY Morning Show with Chris and Susie as the hosts. And Barney, I termed you a community advocate. I think that's probably pretty good.
That's a great term for Barney. I agree.
I know you've also been really involved with NIC's decision to relocate from there. You had a spot in the Bonner Mall, actually, the last several years, and they've moved back downtown, I believe 2 years ago now. And what do you think the potential is for that small campus that we have now? They're located in the old Ninth Grade Center, the Sandpoint Events Center. For that to grow and to blossom into a true branch campus of NIC.
Right. Here's my thought on that is that I think NIC does a great job delivering business-specific courses. And then also just providing you for the next step to go on someplace else. They have a great program where they tie in with Lewis and Clark College. But several years ago, I had thought this might be a direction for a community college to focus upon. And that would be, again, language and culture as it addresses needs in specific areas. The reason I was thinking about that is the dilemma for most community colleges is that their enrollment fluctuates as the economy does better. Their enrollment goes down. Then you have that whole issue of, gee, we need to cut back on funding for our community college. And just at the time, you never are staying ahead of the game. So my thought is how could we distinguish a community college which would make it become a destination campus and make a steady student population. So my simple answer is, one, NIC does a fabulous job with their nursing healthcare program. They have a great placement rate, and it's somewhere around 98% into good-paying jobs. If we sent every student out of here with a skill in Spanish, if you were a nurse, or the culinary program at NIC is fabulous too, and you could work someplace in a kitchen and somebody said, gosh, you speak Spanish. When you go over to Seattle or anywhere up and down the coast, you look at these restaurants, everybody that works in the back of the house is Hispanic. And chains actually recruit chefs from Italy to come over and say, look, we'll give you 10% of the restaurant or something like that. You know, you'd be a partner with us, but we need you because you can communicate with the people who are actually doing the work. So those skills right there, as an example.